Hi, everybody. It's Melissa.
And Nadine.
Welcome to our podcast, The Tapestry of Your Life. We are going to continue talking about Pastor Doug's message from April 10th, 2024, all about how to use the sword of God, also known as the sword of the Spirit as well.
Which is the word of God.
Yes. So we were talking about in our last podcast about some of the different weapons that we have and how the sword of the Spirit and the word of God can be used for offense and for defense, right? It is a weapon to go on the offense and take out the enemy, but will also defend you as well, too.
Yes.
So one of the things that Pastor Doug was mentioning was that we speak the written word. Like, if you don't know what to speak, you speak the written word.
Yes.
So you can also get revelation, of course, and speak that out too, but the word of God is a sure thing.
Yes.
So I'm trying to read my own handwriting. Yeah, so speak the written word. It's a message from the Lord, can change your life and others. But it has to be said. Like, you have to actually hear it. Other people need to hear it.
Yes.
So, Matthew 4:4, that is the passage of scripture where Jesus is being tempted by the enemy, and the enemy's coming and trying to, you know, test Jesus, basically, which I think is hilarious.
Yes.
But it happens basically three times. Which, was it Robin Bullock said that the three times represented, like, the different kingdoms?
I think so, yes.
That was cool. I had never seen that connection before over, like, what, the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom and then, like, the angelic realm?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so verse 4, it says, this is when he's like, oh, turn these stones into bread. And he answered and says, the scriptures say, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. And then that's when the enemy took him to the holy city of Jerusalem, took him to the highest point. And it was like, you know, if you're really God's son, jump and the angels will catch you. And he says again, for it is written in the scriptures, he will command his angels to protect you and they will lift you up so that you won't even bruise your foot on a rock. And then he said, Jesus' response was, you must never put the Lord your God to a test. Then a third time, the enemy took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Was like, I will give you all of this. But Jesus said, go away, enemy, for the scriptures say, kneel before the Lord your God and worship only him. And then the accuser left him and the angels came. So, like, every time that the enemy came against Jesus, he always responded with the written word. Like, he said what was written.
Yes.
And Pastor Doug mentioned, like, don't use the weapon if you're unskilled. So, like, be confident in the scriptures that you do know. Like, if you don't have revelation about maybe what a certain scripture means, I wouldn't use that one in, like, a battle against somebody or against the enemy, right? I would use the scriptures that I'm familiar with, that I have revelation about, and use those because I'm confident in that.
Right, and this that we just read, Satan was using scripture that he didn't know.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out well for him.
Right. He didn't have the understanding behind it.
And he was misusing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So another example is also in Matthew 8. And that's the story of the centurion, like at the beginning of Matthew chapter 8. I think starting around verse 5-ish.
I have, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, to Jesus, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed.
Yeah. So, like, my notes from that passage of scripture was, one, like, the centurion came to Jesus. Like, he came to the word, to the solution, to the source of life to solve his problem.
Yes.
That was the first thing. The second thing was, then God revealed his will, and one was that he did want him to be healed. Like, right. He was willing to come and heal him.
Yes.
The other thing was that the centurion, like, his faith for healing was in that one statement.
Yes.
Like, he had no doubt whatsoever. And that's one of the reasons Jesus said that he hadn't seen such great faith in all of Israel.
Yes.
And I also like that he said, shall be. Pastor Doug spoke that out. Like, right. It shall be.
Yes.
There was no doubt. He's like, just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed.
Yes.
And so, like, I had a question written down, like, can I say, speak the word only? Like, is that something that I could say to Jesus?
Yes.
Like, and to the Heavenly Father, oh, only speak the word and I will do it. I will obey. I have, like, no doubt. I have 100% faith. Yes. Like, strong faith. So, I like asking those introspective questions.
Yes. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you also talked about Gideon, right?
Yes. Judges 7.
What did I write down?
I just wrote down Gideon.
Okay. And that's enough time for me to read what I wrote. So Gideon worshiped. Worship energizes and sharpens the sword. So before he went into battle and different things, like, Gideon was worshiping.
Yes.
So that's in Judges 7, like 15 to 23 is what I have written down. That was with the, oh, that's the story with the pots, the torches in the pots.
Yes. The clay pots.
Yes. Because he was saying clay pots, and then he made a joke about crack pots or something like yes. that. Yes. I remember.
And they had the trumpet, and they had to say the sword of the Lord is sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Yes. So. Yeah, so they had to speak it, right? Yes,
right.
And so the mouth is for the sword, and then I put hand is for deliverance and spoil.
Yes.
Which I thought that was cool.
Yes.
Like, yeah, our mouth, like, all we gotta do is talk and speak, and then the rest of our body's used for the victory and gathering up the spoil.
Yes, and I had just listened to Dr. Bill Winston, who's talking about 4D, and he said that in creation, when we were created, we're created in the likeness and image of God. God created with his mouth. And the hands are created to gather in the harvest, the produce, the spoils.
Yeah.
And so we can see how the world system has switched it to toil with your hands after sin entered the world and not use your mouth as much to create. And so now that we know this, we just make that choice.
Yeah.
That I'm using my mouth to speak the words of God because it's in the word of God to produce. God sends his word to prosper and to perform. It's encoded in the word.
Yeah.
We speak it. It will happen and we gather in the blessing, the spoils, the harvest with our hands.
Yeah. So we mentioned the story of David and Goliath, right?
Yes.
Is that our last one?
Yes.
They're all starting to blend together sometimes.
Yes.
I love our conversations. Okay, so with the story of David and Goliath, the natural sword came after the supernatural sword. So he spoke supernaturally and like what he spoke out, but then natural sword followed after that. So that was just a good reminder as well to speak it out. But then there's action that follows that of like speaking out.
And he had to use his hands.
Yeah.
To use the natural sword. But the order was important.
Yes.
All right.
And then the last like story or reference I kind of have is from 2 Kings with Elisha.
Yes.
I absolutely love this story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Is 2 Kings 6. And
I have verses 15 to 18 written down.
Yeah. I think it started around like 8 and then Pastor Doug jumped down.
In. Okay.
Yeah, because the story is in general, right? Like there's a war happening and it's what, the king of Syria?
Yes.
Yeah, the king of Syria was warring against Israel and he kept like, his plans kept getting exposed. And so every one of his attacks or ambushes like failed.
Right.
And so he's getting upset like, who's betraying me? Like, who's the spy and all that stuff? And his servants and his soldiers are like, there's a prophet over in Israel who's basically just telling them, like, you know, telling them what's going to happen.
Right.
And so I've written down, like, prophets are, like, the spies, the intelligence gatherers, that made me laugh.
My translation, verse 12, says, one of his servants said, "There, none of us are traitors, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom."
Yeah. So the Syrian king is like, well, let's go get the prophet then.
Yep.
Which, that's just so funny. Like, go and see where he is, and then we'll go and see them. And they're like, well, we know he's in Dothan. And you're like, okay, well, let's go. So they send their horses and chariots and this huge army to come and surround the entire city for that one man, for Elisha.
Which, you wonder. I don't think the king stopped to think. Because if this man, not if, this man is... repeating my words that I'm speaking in my bedroom, which is exactly right because he's foiling
spot on every plan.
Why do I think I can just walk into the city and capture him?
Like he won't know that I'm coming.
Yeah, he totally did not think this through.
No, definitely not.
So, tell us what happened, Melissa.
So, Elisha's servant, right, rose up early, went out, and saw, like, the army with the horses and chariots, and, like, basically panicked. He's like, Elisha, my master, like, what are we gonna do? And Elisha answered, like, fear not, for those with us are more than those with them. And then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Which Pastor Doug pointed out, like, oh, they just surrounded the city, but they were completely surrounded with the mountain of, like, the angels, and they had chariots of fire. Like, they just brought chariots, but we had chariots of fire. And so the Syrians came down to him, and Elisha prayed to the Lord, and smite these people with blindness, I pray you, and God smote them with blindness as Elisha asked. Pastor Doug was getting very, like, animated during this part, and I was very excited because I got it. Like, the Lord did what Elisha had asked. Like, he spoke it out.
Yes.
God did it because Elisha said it. Like, what will God do when we speak? What can God do with what we speak? Like, what are we speaking about?
Yes, what can words he do are with, we giving God to do?
To work with, yeah. And so, when they, so they were all blind, and then Elisha took them to the king, all blinded. The king's like, well, what should I do with them? Like, I was asking Elisha. Like, you would think the king, who's in charge of the armies, would know what to do when they've captured the army. But he's like, well, what should I do with them? Like, should I slay them? And he goes, no, feed them, give them bread and water, eat and drink, and send them back to their master. And so, you know, the king prepared all of that for them, and they went back to the master. And it says in verse 23, and the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Like, that was enough that they were like, yeah, I think we're good now.
Yeah.
Message received, we won't mess with Israel anymore.
Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah, so I have just a note at the end to preach the word, right? Like, don't preach your opinion. Don't preach your academics. Like, you simply preach the word of God. And that's what brings healing and restoration, what breaks chains, what silences the enemy, what breaks the yokes.
Yes.
And, like, what Elisha spoke, God did, which I think is just so awesome.
Yes.
Anything else you want to add?
That's everything.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We encourage you, again, to preach the word of God and to speak the word of God. Give God lots of words to work with. Amen.
Yes.